How long was the misunderstanding? How long did it last?
About 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, you turned around, you got another place, signed a lease and everything?
Yeah, and we reconciled our difference, so I went back home.
This is the plaintiff, Peter Persaud. He says the defendant, his sister-in-law, owes him money for household items he purchased for an apartment she lives in, and she won't pay him back. He realizes the defendant is his wife's sister, but family or no family, she can't get away with ignoring him. Owes him $824.59, and that's why he's suing her today. This is the defendant, Sharon Chee. She says she paid the defendant, her brother-in-law, for the items he left behind in an apartment he rented and told him she didn't want the bed. She couldn't afford it. She told him to take it away. He didn't, and now he expects her to pay him for something she never wanted? Nice try, brother-in-law. Nice try. She's accused of causing a family rift.
All parties, please raise your right hand.
What you are about to witness is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with a case pending in civil court. Both parties have agreed to drop their claims and have their cases settled here before Judge Marilyn Million in our forum, the People's Court.
Be seated. Come to order, please. Litigants have been sworn, Your Honor.
Thank you, Douglas. Welcome, Peter Persaud, you are suing Sharon Chee
yes.
for $824.59 that you say is still unpaid of some furniture and household items that you sold to her. Okay, tell me how that came about.
The defendant's known to me as my sister-in-law.
She used to be or is your sister-in-law?
Is my sister-in-law.
Okay. You are, how is she your sister-in-law?
My wife's sister.
She's your wife's sister, okay.
Yeah. In December 2013, there was some misunderstanding by myself and my wife. So I leave home, I furnish an apartment, a new apartment.
Wow, that's a pretty big misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And, okay, so you got an apartment, filled it up with stuff.
Yeah, a couple of days after we reconcile our difference.
How long was the misunderstanding? How long did it last?
About 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, you turned around, you got another place, signed a lease and everything?
Yeah, and we reconciled our difference, so I went back home.
All right.
But I still maintain the apartment in January and February. So my sister-in-law at the
time... Is that because you were paid up for January and February?
No, I paid.
Or because you weren't so sure about your wife?
No, I was because the stuff was there. I had no place to put, so I paid the rent.
So you had all this stuff and nowhere to put it, so you kept the apartment. Had you paid rent for 2 months already?
Yeah.
Okay, so go on.
So my sister-in-law at the time was staying with us.
How long had she been staying with you?
Since September 2013.
So was she part of the problem that you had the misunderstanding with your wife?
No. Okay, she's not a part of the problem.
All right.
So she had wanted to move out from our place.
Okay.
So I offered the opportunity to take the apartment with the stuff that...
And then she was going to pay the rent?
And she was going to pay rent.
All right. And then you asked her if she was interested in some of the stuff that you had there, because what were you going to do with the rest of the stuff that she wasn't interested with?
I wanted to move it out.
You're going to move it out and put it where?
To another sister house.
Okay. So what happens? She's interested in taking over the apartment.
With the stuff.
With what stuff?
With what was in the apartment.
All of it?
Yeah.
Oh, all of it. So according to you, she took all of the stuff.
Yeah,
there's nothing she rejected.
No, at the time when she moved. 2 days after, on the 11th of February, 2014, when I went there, she handed me a list of the stuff that she will take.
Okay. Do you have the list that she handed you?
Yeah.
Okay, is it in her handwriting?
Yeah.
Okay, can I see it?
Thank you, sir.
Okay, can you first show that to her? Is that your handwriting?
No. No.
That's not your handwriting?
No.
Okay.
No.
What is this document here?
Oh, that was a register letter I sent to her. Sorry, but it's the...
Did you have her sign anything?
No, she didn't sign anything.
Is your wife here?
No.
That would be great, because I could show it to her and she could tell me whose handwriting this is.
That's her daughter's handwriting.
Her daughter's handwriting? You said it was her handwriting.
That's why she handed me a list.
And then I asked, is it in her handwriting? And I'm not crazy. I asked, is it in her handwriting? And you said yes. And then I embarked in a course of action based on your answer. Is this your daughter's handwriting? Show this to her again, please. I'm growing very weary of this kind of imprecision.
Nope.
Whose handwriting is that?
I don't know.
This is your brother-in-law. Do you know your brother-in-law's handwriting?
If I put my
Do you know your brother-in-law's handwriting, yes or no?
No.
Okay. If you what? What were you going to say?
No. If my daughter write it, how are we going to get the price? He purchased the things and all the price on it. I can't know the price on the things. Then how I can put my daughter can write it?
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Really, what is in dispute here is the bed, correct?
Yes.
When you say bed, are you referring to a mattress or are you referring to the bed frame?
Is a frame, an iron frame with the box and the bed.
The box spring and the mattress?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's the big ticket item that's $896.59.
Yes.
Okay. And she makes a point. How would her daughter know the prices of each and everything to be able to have written this?
When she told me that she will take the stuff, I hand her all the receipts.
Do you have the receipts?
Yes.
If you handed them to her, then why wouldn't you just write it all out instead of her writing it out?
At the time when she says she will take all this stuff.
All right, so just tell me something, though. There are a series of household items, including the bed, all of which you left in the apartment. You didn't tell him take it out of here, and he didn't take it out of here. You've been using it.
No, I didn't use it.
Where is it?
It's in my apartment. Francis.
Oh, but you're not using it?
No.
It's been in your apartment for how long?
Since I take that place.
Which is how long? 2 years.
Yes, since
and
January.
Plus, 2 years plus.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if that's not something that you're keeping, why did you keep it?
No, because I tell him, come and take it. Because if I put it outside, I have to pay for it.
Okay. Can you prove you told him to come and take it?
Yes, I sent message with my brother then, because my brother said, Sharon,
No. Can you prove it? Not can you say it over and over.
No,
can
I
you
didn't.
Prove it?
I didn't take
a
photo.
Text, a Facebook post, an email, a letter, anything.
No.
Okay, and during the course of the 2 years, he is trying to collect from this, on this. Over and over, he's trying to collect, okay? Including sending you a certified letter. Why is there no record of you ever answering him, telling him, I never wanted the bed?
Yes, because I tell him, why must I buy it? I can buy a bed for $300, and I'm just in the country. I do not afford to buy a bed for $800.
Who's the gentleman with you?
Is a friend of mine.
Moral support? Okay. Support. Don't touch me. Okay. Gotcha. Are you speaking? I can't hear you from where you're sitting. Yeah.
You have a receipt. You say you have some paper that this man wrote.
Yeah. And this is what they wrote for me.
Let's see.
Give it to the judge.
Give it to the judge.
Don't get scared.
This is what
he had to give me with all the prices.
Who gave you that?
Them give me the price for everything.
Who gave you that?
My brother like give me that price.
When
I must take them things and I tell him I don't want the bed with that price.
So he gave you this document. Yeah, I gotta tell you, this just killed you. You should have just stayed there as moral support. Let me explain something to you. This is his handwriting, right? According to your testimony. Is this your handwriting?
No.
Yep, that's not your handwriting either?
No.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Harvey Levin here. So, would you sue your sister-in-law if she stiffed you on a loan? What do you say?
No, I would definitely not sue her. I think, in a way, we're related, so I think I would try and solve it.
Yeah, but she's disrespecting you, right?
I would not sue her for the primary reason that I know that family, especially if you're Italian, if you give them a loan, you might as well forget it.
Well, okay, well, that's just where you automatically assume. But if they disrespect you and you want it back, would you sue your sister?
Most likely, yes. I probably had contract in place with her.
Oh, good. I like hard people here. That's good. That's good. Go inside the courtroom.
Take a good look at it. Who makes her sevens? I say the Spanish way. I don't know if other countries do it the same with the line on the seven.
Not my handwriting.
Well, it no longer killed you. I thought that since you said that was his handwriting, I was comparing it to this, and it was a different handwriting. And then that would answer why it is that there were prices here, because he gave you an original one with prices, and then your daughter was saying what you wanted. Now, let me ask you a question. Why is there a need for her daughter to list everything she wants if she wants everything? There'd be no need for anybody to list the stuff.
Well, initially, my Honor.
Guys, whose handwriting are these? Both of you are just like saying what you want to say to win the case.
No.
It's killing me. Who makes their sevens with the line through it? Anybody in your lives make the seven? Don't think about how it's going to affect your case. Just be truthful.
I make a seven with a line.
Okay.
But, you know, that's not my handwriting.
It's a shame, because if it was, you'd win. Do you have all the receipts? Did they give them back to you?
Yeah.
Hand me all the receipts. You can't get out of your own way. Hand me all the receipts. Okay. Where does your wife stand on all this? Does your wife and her sister have a relationship or no?
No. A couple of times she went by her, and she refused to let her in.
Let her in?
To discuss on this matter.
What has, according to your wife, what has her sister been telling her all this time for the last 3 years almost, two plus years?
She don't answer my wife's call.
Did you return anything of the stuff you bought?
No.
For that apartment?
No.
Did she pay you anything for this stuff?
Yeah, she paid me $400 on when she handed me that note, and $400 later in 2014. I didn't hear from her since in 2015.
So she paid you a total of $800, and the items cost $1,624.59, which is why you're suing for $824.59. Besides sending that certified letter, did you make any other attempts to speak with her to try to get the money?
In initial of 2014, I tried calling her. She refused to answer her phone. Her landlord is my friend. On two or three occasions, I called my friend to go down and give her the phone for me to speak to her. She refused to open the door.
Why are you refusing to speak to your brother-in-law and your sister?
I know I do not want the bed. I tell them from beginning, you can't take what you want to take out. I take what I need.
So what have you done for 2.5 years, ignore the bed?
I just leave it like that. I say when they feel like
that. Is that bed in your bedroom?
No, it's standing in my apartment.
Where in the apartment?
On the wall.
What's on the wall? It's a bed. Is there a bedroom in your... Where did you leave the bed?
In the bedroom.
Is there one bedroom?
It's one bedroom apartment.
Okay, so have you not been using that bed for 2.5 years?
No.
What bed are you using? Do you put a mattress on the floor next to the bed that you're not using?
No. I fold up that bed and put it in my dining room. And my bed, what I buy, I put it in the room.
When you say wall, what are you talking about? Your whole dining room is taken up with an iron bed against a wall?
It's just a frame. You fold up the frame. And
you fold up the frame? Yeah. It's not a playpen. It's an iron frame bed. So you took it apart and leaned it against the wall and never used it all this time. It and its mattress and its box.
No.
Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And then you just have it taken up space in your dining room for the last 2.5 years.
Yes.
Yeah, but you won't let anybody in to see it. Okay, I buy that. All right. Listen. People like you should have stuff in writing. That's all I got to say. All right? But based on what I'm listening to, I've got to figure out who's closer to the truth, and I think he is. I'm finding in favor of the plaintiff in the amount of $824.59. Verdict for the plaintiff.
Thank you.
If that bed, I would see some evidence of you denying that you wanted that bed in 2.5 years.
As opposed to
you just not talking to anybody. I would see an email. I would see a text. I would see a response to a letter. Because in the law, silence in the face of an accusation can be deemed an admission. And that is exactly what happens here when you just ignore them for 2.5 years. And use the bed.
No, I didn't use it.
All right, so this case is a loser for you. What's your reaction to how this wound up?
No, that's why I tell the judge. I put my bed, is a frame what you fold up.
You fold it up?
Yes. I put it just like this on the wall. And the box, I stand up the box, I put the mattress together. And all I buy my own bed because I cannot afford it to buy a bed for $800.
So why were you silent for 2.5 years? Mm. Why didn't you write an email or answer them or say, I don't want the bed?
I tell my brother them. I do not want it. And I just, in the country, I'm not going to pay $800 for a bed.
You just did.
Yeah.
Head right down this way. All right, so step on in here and what's going on in this family?
Well, I don't know. It's the one you trust your family. You know, she was in need at the time. I assist her, and now she's back in from it.
Is this family, can you fix this break in this family?
Well, I wouldn't consider
it's family. It's after all. It's not a bed.
I wouldn't consider it a break in family. We still communicate, you know.
All right. Harvey?
Okay, Kurt, look, all the plaintiff had to do was kind of tip the scale slightly, just like 51-49, and that's what happened. That will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
This is the plaintiff, Vanessa Cheatham. She says she and the defendant are former co-workers, and the woman invited her to a dance and dinner. The tickets cost $120. The defendant told her they were fully refundable, and when she had to cancel the night of the event, she expected to get her money back. Well, the defendant subsequently got fired from the job. The woman refuses to pay her back the ticket, and she's suing for $150 for the price of the ticket and an inconvenience charge. This is the defendant, Carmen Gordon. She says the plaintiff sent her a message on Facebook 2 hours before the event, canceling and asking for a refund. If the woman gave her some notice, she would have been able to refund the money. But 2 hours before it was about to start? Come on. She's accused of ticking off a coworker. The defendant has filed a countersuit for $104 for 8 hours of lost work.
All parties, please raise your right hand.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case on the docket, these litigants worked together. The defendant invited the plaintiff to a dance, but the plaintiff had to cancel. Now, the defendant got fired and refuses to pay her her money back. The defendant says the plaintiff canceled with almost no notice. It's the case of let's do the jerk. Jerk.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Vanessa Cheatham, you are suing Carmen Gordon for $150, the cost of some tickets, plus your inconvenience factor of $30 for an event that you were unable to attend. Talk to me.
Okay, so first of all, my name is Vanessa. Honestly, I'm sorry, I didn't even expect to even be here, and I'm a huge fan.
Someone put a hood on you and bring you over here without you knowing.
Yeah, right. but basically, this was kind of one of those situations where when I was at work, this was a, you know, kind of one of those spur of a moment kind of things. And when I first met her, she was a coworker of mine. And so we both don't currently work there right now. But, you know, she was a really nice lady. I knew her through the job, so it wasn't anything that I knew outside the job. When this all happened, just pertaining to the event alone, I was on call one day. I know that she was telling the event to everyone else around the job about her church event that actually initially started at Anthony's Pier 9. This event was mainly for like her church and, you know, just to invite people over. It was kind of like a formal kind of thing, but at the same time, it was kind of like, oh, you guys could come and, you know, you can invite friends and family. And I was like, okay, this, you know, this sounds really good. You know, not sure if I would be able to go, but it's something that I would like to do if I am. So when that happened, you know, I talked to my dad about it because I wasn't sure who else to go. I was like, hey, this might be something that we can do.
When did you buy the tickets?
I believe it was definitely 2 weeks before the event. I honestly
And the event was when?
October 25th.
Okay, so sometime in the first week or about after the first week of October, you buy your tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And the tickets are $120.
Uh-huh, for two people.
And then what happens on the day of the event, you discover that you're unable to go?
Yes. It was 3 hours before the event where I actually got a text message that it was actually my stepmother's birthday, which meant that not only would my guest not be able to go, which is my dad, he's here today, but I wouldn't be able to go. I honestly forgot that her birthday was that day. I didn't want to, you know, lead Carmen on saying that, hey, I might be able to go and this and that, but...
Well, you bought the tickets. I mean,
yeah, but still, you know, just for the convenience, because even going before the 25th, she did tell me, and she did invite other coworkers too, verbally and in the messages, that even if you're not able to go, the event is still refundable. And it wasn't until...
Okay, do you have that in messages?
I sure do. I actually have it.
Okay, not... Listen to my question. Not did she offer to pay you back when you said, I'm canceling.
Yes.
Do you actually have in text before you bought the tickets...
No, not that.
Okay, what do you have?
It was after.
Yeah, afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let me ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What was this event?
It was appreciation service for my keyboardist and my drummer at my church. It was on October 25th. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and so why were complete strangers to the church going for their appreciation?
It was just, I told everybody when I was inviting everybody, just come out to have a good time. You can meet new people. It's a black and white affair. You know, it was a formal event. And I would just invite anybody to just get the numbers because at first it was at Pier 9, but they too expensive, so I switched the venues. The tickets, I believe there were 85 individually, but I said if you come with someone, you get a discount, so it'd be 120 for a couple.
Okay, did you ever tell people it would be refundable?
I didn't tell nobody that, because even if you say you're coming, you're incorporated into the count. I still have to pay for your plate right. and your seat, so I wouldn't right. tell anybody they're gonna get their money back.
Right, but when she texts you that day,
yes, ma'am,
and says, I can't make it, it's my stepmother's birthday, do you say to her, oh, I'll try to get you your money back? Or what is it you said? Well, show me the text.
Mm-hmm. I have the receipt. She paid me on October 17th.
October 17th, yes. And the yes, event ma'am. Was when? October 25th?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Do you have any evidence from anyone else who says that, yes, she was going around telling everybody it would be refundable before you bought your tickets?
Unfortunately, I don't have the physical evidence. And
well, you have an affidavit from anybody who says
I
that.
I don't. And that's the one thing.
You have a witness
thing.
Who says
that's
that.
That's the one thing I regret. I do.
That's kind of the main thing, isn't
yeah,
it? Because
exactly.
it's either refundable if it's not.
Right.
It's either refundable, either you bought it under the... because you were told it was refundable,
right.
or you didn't buy it because you were told it was refundable. The fact that she says after the fact,
right.
you know what, I'll get you your money, and then thinks better of it, that's not a contract.
Right.
A contract is what you two understand before you purchase the
mm-hmm.
tickets.
That's
okay?
true.
Your dad raised his hand. Go ahead, and you wanted to say something?
Mike, sir. First of all, hello, and
hi.
I'm happy to be here today.
Happy to have you.
All right. I'm comedic by nature anyway, but my daughter's kind of starstruck, so she's kind of missing some of the stuff.
She's adorable. I love having her here, but she's got an uphill battle here.
Yeah, I see.
Okay.
I see.
Oh, yeah.
And she's forgetting some stuff.
Okay.
That she had a coworker she told me about, because I don't physically know the people, but a coworker who she said, and they recently got laid off, so, you know, she had no yeah. way of reaching this person for that affidavit you talked about. She said that coworker was refunded and was in a similar situation with her with the refund policy. How I got involved was because I had to remind my daughter about a function myself and my fiance or girlfriend, however you want to call her, was having, and she forgot about. So I told her that, okay, she could still go to that event if she wanted, but she had to find somebody. She was relying on me to go with her on that. So when and this was about maybe 2 weeks prior to that event. So just to, you know, because she was kind of missing the point on a lot of things. And it wasn't 3 hours before the event. It was actually about 2 weeks prior when I reminded her about that. And then
that may be, but it was her text to her is a couple of hours before the event.
I understand that, but the conversation did happen before text 2 weeks prior. She wouldn't return my call because we was going to try to work out a deal with her type of thing. And she didn't want to work with us at that time.
No, she didn't want to talk to you. You're just going to pressure her. Did you give anybody their money back?
No, I didn't.
Who do you think she gave the money back to?
Okay, she insists. She said, I can get a refund. Is that enough for her to get the refund?
No, because it should be written on paper and...
End of story.
Yes.
Okay, going inside the card room.
It was actually, numerous of coworkers. I, unfortunately, if I had the evidence today, I would be able to show you, but...
If you had the evidence, you might win.
Yeah,
but
I know,
here's where
exactly.
our problem lies. See, normally, when you buy tickets to a dinner,
right.
the dinner has been prepared and is already being charged to the person. They can't change the count 3 hours, 5 hours
right.
the day of. They can't. So she's already being charged. All right, so how is it supposed to come out of her pocket because you
right.
forgot what your dad had told you? So
right.
you would have to prove to me something that's highly unusual, which is that you were told it was refundable. And I'm here to tell you, I highly doubt you were told that, because for you to be told that, she'd have to be insane.
Yeah.
Because that means that if everybody decides to quit on her, she'd be paying out thousands of dollars on behalf of everybody.
Yeah.
So I would find that kind of weird. So, but I've seen weird behavior before. So I'm happy to see your proof of it. You have zero proof of it.
Well, I actually
okay.
did.
Do you have a counterclaim against her for what?
Oh, I had said that I'm missing a day of work to come to do this because
oh, come on. This is a story you'll be telling your grandkids someday. That you were here with me. She's all starstruck. He's all happy to see. And you want money for the pain and suffering of having to come to court today?
I'm sorry, you just got me. Thank you for that. Yes.
Yeah, no. Okay. Your remedy is to win, which is about to happen.
Yes,
okay? So based on what I've heard, for the reasons I've stated, my verdict in this case is for the defendant on your counterclaim zero. Good luck,
Thank
folks.
You.
All All right, so this is the plaintiff coming out here with the entourage. What's your feeling coming out of the courtroom here on this one?
Well, honestly, I wish I could speak a lot more clearer, because I'm like, I never expected to be here on People's Court today, so I'm actually more honored than anything. The case itself, you know, was unfortunate.
You're just glad to be here and lose?
I wouldn't say lose, but, you know, think it happens. If I brought more evidence, then, you know, probably would have gotten more cleared up, but
that always helps. Let me get the last word from the big guy here.
Yes.
What do you think of this whole thing?
It's a little bit weird.
A little weird?
Yeah. You won't come to court to lie, right?
What's the weirdest thing about it?
About the birthday thing at the same time.
That is weird. All right. Okay, follow-ups of McIntosh right around the corner. Okay.
Thank you.
Meet another weird guy right there.
Yeah, right?
Okay. All right, so step on in here. You win the case. What's your thought on this thing?
Definitely. I invited her because I wanted her to have a good time with the coworkers and everything. I mean, it's sad that she couldn't come, but I don't feel like I should have to pay her anything if I didn't benefit from it.
You didn't. What's the state of your friendship now?
We was never friends. We were just coworkers. Not at all.
Harvey?
Kurt, this would have been so simple. All the plaintiff had to do was send a simple email confirming what she said, and it probably could have gone her way. That will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
This is the plaintiff, Dawn Johnson. She says she rented a house from the defendant for 11 years. And now, after all that time of being a great tenant, he's trying to rip her off by keeping her security. He also owes her for 11 years of interest on that security deposit. And she expects to get every penny of it awarded to her today as she's suing for the $3,101 she's owed. This is the defendant, Michael Jensen. He says the plaintiff stole the refrigerator from the apartment when she moved out, left the rest of the place a disgusting mess, and there was urine on the floors and all of the rooms. There were also two dead, rotting cats in the place, and he had every right keeping every penny of the plaintiff's security. He's accused of bad landlording.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case on the docket. The plaintiff says she was a great tenant for 11 years. The landlord is screwing her out of her security. The defendant says the plaintiff stole the fridge and it was such a mess. There was urine and two dead cats. It's the case of urine too deep for your cats.
Thank you, Douglas. Don Johnson.
Yes.
You are suing Michael Jensen, your former landlord, for $3,101. You want your $1,300 security deposit returned, $1,000 in interest on it, and $800 for a refrigerator that you took from the place. Okay, tell me what is going on.
I rented the house from him for 11 years. I gave him $1,300 for security deposit. When it was time to be returned, he wanted me to let him keep the interest on it. That's just what he wanted.
What did he say to you?
He said he thought it would be very generous of him to give me the $1,300 back and let him keep the interest because I had the refrigerator. But the refrigerator that was in the house had went bad years ago, and I was on a program that would replace it for me every 3 to 4 years, but he had to agree to give me his refrigerator, which was the old one.
How many refrigerators had you had at the place? And
two.
What program is this?
Comfort Partners.
Is this a New Jersey program?
Yes.
So it's a government program,
yes.
And they replace your refrigerator every...
And they insulate the house.
Okay.
At no expense to the landlord or tenant.
Okay. Well, yeah, I assume you have to qualify.
Right.
All right. It's so were you on Section 8?
Yes.
Okay. So Section 8 was paying for this dwelling. This was a what?
This is a house, four-bedroom house.
All right. And how many people did you have living there?
Me, my 5 kids.
How much was your portion of the rent?
It varied from year to year. Disabled 5 years ago, so that's when it changed, and they paid a higher portion. But as
what's
my kids,
the nature of your disability?
I had three knee replacements, and the first one went horribly wrong, led me into two more.
All right, so when you move out, why were you moving out?
I had found a place that was a little smaller because my older kids had moved out.
So he did not return your security deposit?
Mm-hmm.
And on what grounds did you keep her security deposit?
I didn't keep her security deposit. I have a letter here that we sent it out. Certified mail return receipt requested. We tried to pay her 1% interest on her security deposit. which would have given her an extra $155. And then we had some deductions to take off of that for some damages to the house.
So what was the size of the check you sent to her?
$326.
Did you cash that?
I never got a notice or a check.
I have a...
Did it get returned to you? She
yes,
didn't
ma'am.
Pick it up?
That's correct.
Okay, let me see it. Where did you send it to?
We sent it to her new address. We had to... and I have the...
What's your new address?
254.
Yeah, that's exactly where it was sent. You didn't bother to pick it up.
I didn't get anything.
Oh, three attempts.
Yeah.
They left three notices at your house, then it got returned to him. But in any event, so tell me what it is. How is it that she damaged the place?
Well, there was a radiator that was driven through the floor. We had to
pictures?
Pay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let me see the radiator.
Oops, sorry.
Do you happen to have pictures of the place from 11 years ago?
I do not. I'm sorry.
Okay, when you say driven through the floor...
If you look at the first picture, it shows that the right side of the radiator's down. If you look at the second picture, it shows from the basement the radiator driven through the floor. And then...
What do you think was happening? Somebody stepping on it,
yes,
sitting
ma'am.
On it?
There's a front porch outside that window.
So they're going through the window to the front porch?
That's
how far
guess.
Is the door? Why do they have to go through the window?
That's from a bedroom.
It's from a bedroom. Whose bedroom?
My 14-year-old son is 14 now.
Oh, he's sneaking out?
No. This is an exceptionally smart kid. He does not sneak out. But what's not being told...
Smart kids sneak out all the time. They're smart.
Excuse me, but what's not being told is that was encased... by a wood thing that was not broke. So how do you step on a radiator and
I'm
it was
sorry.
Covered?
Was
it was totally covered.
Was this the
covered.
Way it looked, or was there something encasing it?
There was a radiator cover on it.
How does it go through the floor? Because this is the picture of the radiator
you
going through the floor.
You see how thin that wood is? That radiator.
That's the floor.
I understand, but listen, Miss Judge.
Somebody was stepping on it, honey. That's the only way.
The casing wasn't even broke or touched.
What'd you end up doing? Mm-hmm. You had to repair the floor?
I had to repair
replacement
the floor.
Of radiator
we had to
steam valve.
The valve and the union.
Why
to
did
the
you
radiator.
Have to replace the steam valve?
Because it was actually physically broken.
Do you have a picture of that?
No, ma'am.
Okay. What else did you? How much money did you withhold for the radiator?
$350, and the receipts are here as well.
Okay. What else did you withhold money for?
We withheld $250 for the refrigerator.
Tell
taken.
Me about the refrigerator now. She says that she had a program and that you, what that first refrigerator that you traded in, that belonged to him.
Right.
And so are you saying he gave it to you as a gift? Because most landlords don't give as a gift the appliances to the tenant.
I called him up while they were there and they said the only way they could replace it, because it was faulty, the only way they could replace it is if he gave me the refrigerator. And
right. But had she complained that it was faulty before that?
No, the way I remember it, Your Honor, they tested it and said it was inefficient. And so, I have a document here that...
And so who does it end up belonging to?
Highlighted is the sentence
right.
that tells you that information.
If you own the refrigerator at the time of replacement, you will own the new refrigerator. Well, he's the guy who owned the refrigerator at the time of replacement, not you. So if he owns the refrigerator that you upgraded with, because uh-huh. you have to put give them a refrigerator,
right.
why would he not own the new refrigerator?
When he showed me that paper, I offered to buy one because his refrigerator was nowhere near new. That was
okay.
left in
How
so
much money
buy him
were
one.
You with, did you deduct for the refrigerator? $250?
$220. It cost me
$220. $220.
Yes, ma'am.
You can't get a refrigerator for less than that. Let me just ask you a question.
No, I offered to buy it.
Right.
None of this became a problem until he couldn't show me the papers that he didn't put it in escrow. He never
put tell me about that.
He never put my security deposit in escrow, and this is when he changed on me.
So who takes advantage of who more, landlords or tenants?
Definitely the tenants.
Why do you say?
I've been a landlord.
Oh, well, that's a good one. What do you say?
Tenants.
Because?
I've been a landlord.
Wow, I got a bunch of, who knew you had a bunch of landlords here? Wow, going inside the courtroom.
He never put your security deposit in escrow, and what did you say to him about it?
I just wanted to see the paper. He wanted to keep the escrow, the interest, and I asked, could I see the papers?
In your complaint, you say that you should get 7% interest. Where do you get that the interest would have been 7%?
That's what New Jersey law is.
You show it to me, because I can't find that. Because I want to sign up for that wherever I can put. I'm going to take every penny I have and put it in there for now until something gets better around here.
I have it on here.
So she, what does she tell you when she says, why don't you have it in escrow? You're supposed to. By the way, did you, how many units do you own?
Just the one.
Are you under the impression as we stand here that you have to have the money in escrow?
I am.
You are wrong.
I am.
Okay.
Okay, that's great.
All right. Before you leave here, I'm going to hand you the law. You have to own a certain number of buildings before that kicks in.
I see.
Okay. And you don't own a certain number of units. Do you rent out just that one unit?
Yes,
that's it?
That's correct.
Okay. You have to own 10 for that to kick in. Okay. This isn't the law that you're reading. You're reading somebody's website talking about what the law is. The law requires landlords who rent fewer than 10 apartments to place security deposits in bank account. No, it doesn't. That's just not true. I'm looking at it. I'll give it to you when you walk out, too. But in any event, let's talk about this a moment. So you, where are you under the impression that someone has to pay you double the security deposit?
It's all in here.
No, you need to find where it says 7%. Where did you get 7%?
It just said it in the bold print.
What the law says is that it's a formula that has to do with whatever the prime rate is each year. So it, like, varies each year, but it's certainly not 7%. Plus 7% interest per year to pay the tenant's rent. Yeah, this is all garbage in, garbage out. But I hear what you're saying. You thought they were right, but they're not. All right, so the total amount of the security deposit is $1,300, correct?
Yes, ma'am. And all we offered to pay her a full 1% interest. We have a letter from my CPA that shows that the bank's interest rate was
0.05%. Not 11 years ago, though.
The only data that we could get back from the banks, they said they only could go back 7 years, was to 2009.
I'm reading this from your CPA, and it says, explaining just as you said, how low the interest rate was, but it says something that it appears you were very financially gratuitous to your tenant. Starting in 2004, you did not charge her allocatable part of the rent in December as a holiday gift. How much rent was she paying?
In the beginning, it started at 100. At the end, it was 700.
And you wouldn't charge her portion of the rent in December as a Christmas gift?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that true?
Sometimes, yeah.
Did your landlord give you $100, $200, $300 every single December?
I got all his appliances.
I can't believe you're suing the guy.
I got all his appliances repaired for 11 years for free. Me and Mike had a very good relationship.
I'll say you had a very good relationship.
Did. We really did.
But I mean, a really good relationship. The guy's giving you a Christmas gift every December of your own, you don't have to pay me. I've never seen that in my life.
Did you read my statement? I didn't even want to do this, but I want him to be fair about it.
Right.
Can I sit down?
Pardon?
Can I sit down?
Can you sit down? Do you need to sit down?
Yes. My leg is killing me.
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry. I forgot about your surgeries. Let me be real clear about how this works, okay? You can't keep it in a drawer. You have to put it in a federally insured savings account. But you can put it in your own federally insured savings account if you have less than 10 units. If you have fewer than 10, then it doesn't have to be separate. It always has to be deposited in an account, and your remedy is to get the interest that you would have gotten throughout those years. So here's what I'm gonna do. The security deposit is $1,300. I'm gonna add to that, I'm gonna need to look at each year and actually calculate exactly, because I know that's what you want me to do, how much interest you should have received if it had been placed into the savings account as it was, but if what interest you should be receiving. Now, I am going to allow him to reduce that amount by the following. I'm going to allow $220 for the fridge, and I am going to allow $350 for the radiator damage. That is my judgment, and I wish you both good luck. I'm happy to see that you had such a good relationship for all that time, and I hope that each of you can, at least having stood through this trial, understood each other's positions a little bit more so that you have fond memories of the 11 years. Okay, good luck.
Well, the plaintiff gets something back, but the landlord here does get to keep for all the reasons the judge enumerated. What's your reaction to this final outcome now?
I think it was fair.
Mm-hmm.
Fair response.
Do you understand the tenant side of things a little bit better as a result of this whole?
I do.
She was a good tenant, right?
Yes, she was. We had 11 years of a good relationship with the tenant.
All right, right around the corner this way, documents wait for you. All right, let's talk to the tenant coming out, the plaintiff, so you don't get all of that security back. He gets to keep some for the reasons the judge explained. Satisfied?
No, because my son didn't do none of that damage. That was wear and tear. That heater was faulty all along. And they knew it. If he had to show the case and there was nothing broke on it, my son didn't step on it.
In the fridge?
Well, it was a program that gave me the fridge. I offered to put a new one in there. He said, don't worry about it. But it's okay.
Does your where are your living arrangements now? Are they good?
Yeah.
All right. You're great. You getting rent for free Christmas time now from your new landlords?
He got repairs for free.
Okay. Okay, well, this is kind of a good lesson that there is actually an advantage of getting along with your landlord and not being a jerk if you're a tenant. Not only when you're living there does it make it more peaceful, but when you move out, the likelihood is you will more likely get your security back.